him, but if we don't believe him, that don't make him an unbeliever. He believes his word. Somebody's going to believe this thing and take it to the end. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. And I just contend that's the reason that we're here, is because somebody's going to make it to that body change. Somebody is going to make it even to the adoption stage, to where there's some things that will be done that are supernatural. That Brother Brown said it won't be a public show, but in our local community, in our local assembly, we can see signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. I believe that. We all need a miracle. We all need different things. Amen. And as I told you Sunday, for those of you that weren't here, you know, we can, I'm sure last Sunday, I was going to send out a note to those pastors that we have a WhatsApp group. They started firing off quotes about, you know, the Pope being out of the United States. And I didn't, but I started to send a note, a message, say, look, are y'all going to preach on that or Mother's Day? Which one are you going to preach on? Which one are you going to speak on? Okay? But as we said Sunday, these signs are signs. Right. It's not the vehicle to get us out of here. I'm telling you, I have seen in the past week chats and some WhatsApp, not here, but outside of the people that I'm connected with, and even got phone calls myself from people that haven't been to church in years. Yeah. They're scared. They should be, brother, but did it take a Pope coming out of the United States to make them believe Brother Branham's message was right? I mean, come on, did it take that? We knew that. We already read that part of the newspaper. I believed and knew there was going to be a Pope come out of the United States. But there had to be a man in the White House to coincide with that Pope coming out of the United States. Because if you had two different ones, they couldn't talk to each other. But now you've got two that are right there together. But that's still not going to rapture us. It's a sign. It's a sign. There's a turning point. There's a caution. There's a stop sign there that says, hey, stop and check up. But I've had a couple of phone calls from people that hadn't been in this church in a couple of years. They want to talk. Yeah. Listen, if it takes it, that's fine with me. But scaring you into something is never going to work. Because right. At 9/11, 2 days after 9/11, churches were full. They were having prayer service at the White House. Everybody was praying. Everybody was in church. And that was 24 years ago now? Good grief. 24 years ago, where are those people at? Even message people. Yeah. Well, they hit the pews, man. Something's fixing to happen. This is, you know, we're heading into World War III. 24 years later, where are they? Right. I say, we've got the vehicle to get us where we're going. Read your signs. If the sign says warning, take the warning. But that warning is not going to get you to where you need to go. That car that you're in, the right road, the right vehicle is going to get you to where you're going. And I believe we have the right car. I believe we have the right road. And I believe we're on the right path. So if the Pope comes out of the United States, scares you, something else will scare you again. Something else will scare you. Brother Dale always said, you get them in with a hot dog, somebody will get them out with a hamburger. So you get them in with this doctrine or you get them in with this emotion, they'll walk right back out if they don't get an experience. Yeah, right. But you got to have an experience with God. Right. And then you'll know why the Pope had to come out of the United States. You know all about Revelation 13. We see the book of Revelation absolutely unfolding in front of us by the day. Right. Stock market zooming. Guess what? Gold's going up. Guess what? Who owns the gold? Right. We know that. Brother Brown said we're broke. We have to go bankrupt. See, here I am preaching on it. Have to go bankrupt. have to go bankrupt so that they'll pay our debt off. And who's the only one that can pay $32 trillion and not bat an eye? Right. They ain't another denomination in the world. They can't even get together and have enough money. They can't even get together anyway. But not to have enough money to say, here's $32 trillion, I'll just pay your debt off. I'd like to have just a little bit of that. But you know what? That ain't going to do nothing for us if we ain't born again. That ain't going to do nothing for us if we're not striving to get that headstone back into the church.
Amen.
Not going to happen. That's why we've been here the whole time. Oh, yeah, there had to be signs, folks. But now I want to ask them people that believe the sign people now what sign they believe in. But they're saying Brother Ram's wrong here and here. In 1955, he made this prediction. 55. Four? 54. 69 years ago, he predicted that this is what would happen, and then this is what's going to happen afterwards. But yet he's a false prophet. Well, anyway. Romans 8, verse... I'm off of that now. We're done. Romans 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So there's a fear factor. And there is when you come up to a road sign and a stop sign or a yield sign or falling rocks or something, there is a caution there. But it doesn't stop you. It's not going to stop you from continuing on. It's not going to stop. Good soldiers don't stop because their partner dies right in front of them. He wants to strive more forward to get that person that killed that person or wounded him or whatever. So that's what we got to do. We got to strive for that. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, because fear is bondage. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Now, you haven't received adoption. You've received the spirit of adoption. Like I said before, you can be born again, but not become to adoption. You can stop that.
Amen.
But you can't be adopted and not be born again. Because what are you adopting? You're adopting what's inside of you already. It's not just because seniority. No.
Right.
20-something-year-old people could have more intelligence and have more of the Word of God than me at 65. God's not a respecter of persons. It's whoever wants to dig in the furthest and the fastest and the best. We've got all the equipment we need.
Amen.
We're not, listen, folks, we're not looking. I'm on the WhatsApp with Brother Barry Coffey. I know some maybe are too. When we send that money overseas or send the money to make the books and the books go overseas. Well, those people are just, they're like, wow, we've never had this book before. Wow, we've never had this seal book before. We've never had this in our language. We've had it in our language for 60-something years. And what have we done with it? That's why America's going to get it. That's why Brother Brown said, America turned them down first. They're going to get it first. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, could you imagine sitting here today and never read a seal book? Never read a church age book? Never had it in your language? So you and I don't have an excuse. We have it everywhere. It's on your arm now. You can read quotes off of your smarty phone.
Right.
I don't have one. Don't want one. If you have one, it's not a doctrine.
Right.
It's just funny when somebody, you're standing around talking and somebody goes, and then they look back there. Why would you do that? Because you got something coming in on your phone and it scares you. And maybe it'll scare you. Hey, everybody get one. Everybody get one. I want a button right here, Josh. When y'all start falling asleep, I'll go, beep. I'll send you a text. Wake up. But we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Father, Father, or Abba, Father. The spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. Look, that we are the children of God. So we've entered into a family. And you're born again in your new birth. Now watch. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There's going to be, just to make it plain, there's going to be billions of Christians that don't come to adoption.
Right.
A lot of those that down in the dark ages in different places, they didn't have all the Word of God. They had just enough to get them born again.
Right. Right.
They didn't have these virtues working in their life. But you and I do. We've had a prophet to come and put that all together. And to paint a beautiful picture to tell us that this means this and this means that. And there's the headstone. And it takes the Holy Spirit up there to mold it all together. You get the Holy Ghost downstairs, down at the bottom. But the Holy Spirit has to come and mold it all together and put it all, fill all the cracks in.
Right, yeah.
There hadn't been cracks filled in over the past 2,000 years. But it is now.
That's right.
So even Brother Branham told us, the astronaut age. The reason we can take it is because we know how to be pressurized. Nobody else has been pressurized. We know how to be pressurized.
Right.
So if we're shaking our head, then let's start doing it. Exercising our faith. Because we're heirs. What are we heirs of? We heirs of everything that's in this Word of God. Everything. If Jesus, that's like joint heirs with Christ. If he gets it, we get it. It's an equal thing. Remember, before the fall, Eve got everything Adam got. It wasn't like this. It was co-equal. And that's what God wants. If so be that we what? Here's that word. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also what? Glorified together. Amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, now this is Paul in the book of Romans, are not worthy to be compared with the glory, now watch, which shall be revealed in us. If you go through a situation, going through situations, that when you come out at the end of it, you're better. Yeah. Or it was the devil that did that, or he did it, and you did it wrong, and you got to go back and take it over again. Because right. every Christian that goes through something, it does not make you weaker.
That's right.
It can't make you weaker. It's got to make you stronger. God's not going to have a weak bride.
Amen.
He's not going to have a weak wife.
That's right.
But these trials are supposed to, if that's the thing that's going to put us there.
Amen.
If not, come on, people. Be honest with me. Be honest just one time. If you didn't have to go to church and you could make it to heaven, would you come? One person raises hand. And it was kind of like this. You wouldn't. Come on. No, you wouldn't. I mean, listen, if you didn't have to, if there was this quote that come up, Brother Ramsey, you don't have to go to church, you'd probably stay home. Because a lot of people stay home anyway.
Right.
But we have these things in place to keep us in line.
Right.
To keep us on the right road, because we are sheep.
Right.
And sheep have to be led. And we have a chief shepherd that'll never fail us. He'll always be there. He'll always, when you need a tap on your hind end, like a sheep, you know, he taps it with love because he knows that you're going to go in that direction and the wolf is over there.
That's right.
That's what God knows are the best yeses we'll ever get.
Amen.
I hope we understand that. He can see till the very last day you draw your breath.
Right.
But he can also see that if he allows you to do something, that you're going to do something different and it's going to hurt you.
Amen.
Hurt you. God's not going to ever let something go through that's going to kill you. He told, even told Satan, he said, hey, do everything to Job you want to, but you're not taking his life.
That's right.
Because he owns your life.
Right.
I don't care if he owned Adolf Hitler's life.
Right.
Adolf Hitler just didn't turn his life over to Jesus Christ.
Right.
For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Paul kept telling, not in the Word. It's revealed in us. Because
right.
We have to become the Word.
Right.
Paul understood that. Paul even said, the things I do, I would not. The things I would not, I do. There's a war in my members. And he was a prophet.
Right.
He wrote 80% of the New Testament. God was with him all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
But yet he was buffeted. He wrote most of his letters in prison. In a damp, dark, he didn't have air conditioning and LED lights.
Amen.
He had a candle, maybe a bucket to use the bathroom in, and I don't know when he took a shower. Now, I'm telling you, he was in prison.
Right.
And he wrote the greatest letters in prison that's in the eternal Word of God. I don't know if he knew that, but when he was writing those letters, I don't know if he knew that was going to be included in the Word of God. But he sure was writing them to those people. The Corinthians, the Thessalonians, the Romans, he was writing to the Hebrews. He was telling them what they needed to do to line up.
That's right.
So the glory is going to be revealed in us, but it has to come out of the Word. So if the Word's not revealed to us, how are we going to be revealed?
Right.
Am I with me? How are we going to be revealed if we don't see it in the Word of God? Because that's where we get our revelation from. That's where we get everything we need. Our sustaining portion is the Word of God. And we couldn't get a revelation by ourselves.
Right.
Man's tried to do that. That's why there's a Baptist church over there and a Pentecostal over there and 15 message churches within 2 miles of each other in another state. Sorry. That's why. Man's ideas.
Right.
And they think they have the Word of God. Talk to a Baptist. They'll tell you, we've got the Word of God. We do it right. We're going to heaven by what we preach.
Yeah.
I was watching, I don't know what that guy's name is on YouTube, but he's a pretty bold preacher, but he was telling the difference in Roman Catholic and Protestant. What's the difference? You know, is Catholic a Christian religion? He said, yes, because they believe in the Trinity like we do. He said, there are other denominations that deny the Trinity. He said, but that's who God is. I thought, man, where'd you get that from? Well, he got it from his denomination in some creed. Oh, he did talk about it. He said, the Apostle Creed's right. You know, Brother Brown told us, here we go again, but Brother Brown told us that the only thing that separates those two religions is the sacrament.
Right.
Their sacrament says that they literally turn the body into Jesus, or the bread and then the wine, which is absolutely foolish. There's no way you could do that.
Right.
But they've got everybody believing that,
yeah.
And the Protestants don't. Well, when they come together with that, Brother Brown said, that's the only thing that keeps them apart. Well, all they got to do is agree on that a little bit right there.
That's right.
And they're going to start shutting our doors. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're outside of Noah's church?
Yeah.
And they shut the door.
I'm right. That's it.
What happened to Noah? God shut that door.
Right.
Lest we suffer with him, Brother Brown said, this is Smyrna Church Age, very familiar quote. Lest we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. So here we go. If you don't suffer, you don't reign. Because you don't know how to reign if you don't suffer.
Amen.
Look at King David. King David was anointed king when he was a child almost. Amen?
Right.
He had to go through all that. And even when he became a king, the king that God wanted in there in the first place, he still had problems.
That's
it. Right. So you're going to have problems. You gotta suffer. Now, suffer's not like I said Sunday. It's not suffering. They're not gonna nail you to a cross, I hope. They're not gonna put you in chains and pull you down the street. They're not gonna pull you between two horses and pull your arms apart like they did, who was it, Isaiah or some one of them that did that too, or one of the apostles. They pulled them apart with two horses, you know. You never had a bad day before. Let me put it that way.
Amen.
We got air conditioning. You hear it running? Okay. And when it ain't, we call Aaron, right? Okay. But you have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Now, we believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right? We believe what he said. Okay. Character is a victory, not a gift. So God doesn't give these gifts without you going through suffering. Without you going through battles, he just doesn't spoil you by just giving you everything. Character is a victory, not a gift. The man without character can't reign, because power, apart from character, is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. Fit to rule what? You better rule this house first.
Right.
You get this house under subjection. You get this house first.
Right.
And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis he overcome. Remember, that's Revelation 3. That's our commission to this church age.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. He wants us to sit on the throne with him as he sat on his Father's throne.
Right.
And how did he sit on his Father's throne? By suffering.
Yeah.
And since he was to share him in his throne on the same basis that he overcome and is set down on his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared with the tremendous glory that, but here we go again, he's quoting Paul, that will be revealed in us.
Amen.
When he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. There's nothing you can go through down here, come on, that's eternal. We're getting through here so we can get to the eternal.
Amen.
Or see, eternal can come here, actually. But listen, if we don't overcome, how's this world going to overcome and everybody's going to get to live on it? Think about that. Because Adam fell, then the animals fell, started eating each other, and then the world fell. storms, earthquakes. My, earthquakes in many places.
Right.
East Tennessee. And we felt it here. You know, one of the biggest fault lines they're worried about now is the New Madrid fault line, which runs right down through the Mississippi River, didn't Brother Brown say, tidal waves. So here we're looking at prophecy that everything's honing in now. We don't have to worry or guess what's fixing to happen. And it's going to happen because you and I are going to get into place. And I'm just going to put to you real quick. If we don't come to a place to where we can say to this mountain, be moved, or we can say that storm, pass away, or we can say, I need something to eat, God, then you're going to really, 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 really suffer.
Amen.
So suffering through listening to me and Brother Bob and Brother Luis and Brother Aaron is temporary. Why do we have to suffer? 1 Peter 2, verse 18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Listen, it's easy to be nice to somebody that's easy to you than nice to you. Easy. But somebody that just grates your cheese, the old saying goes. The fingernails on the chalkboard. Those of young people don't know what a chalkboard is, Google it. AI, it'll show you what it looks like, but it'll never get that. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully.
Yeah.
This is not even me being me and me know I did it wrong. It's somebody persecuting me because I'm just, like I said before, people can quote Billy Graham or Roberts. Spruwell, they can do, come up with all these ones that they can quote them.
Yeah, right.
But when somebody stands up and quotes William Branham, they go haywire.
Amen.
Why? Because it's contrary to everything else that they see. And it's contrary to what's inside of them.
Because
if you got the new birth and you hear that voice, not just Brother Branham's voice, it's the voice in the voice. The voice behind the voice.
Right.
The power behind the voice.
Amen.
If you can hear that, then yes, that's your predetermined part that you've come to that and you say that ain't nothing but the truth.
Right. That's it.
But a lot of people, they don't mind if you quote different people. But just don't quote William Branham. Why? Different. He's different. He's not a Trinitarian. His baptism is to them contrary.
Right.
So guess what? If you're part of that, you're going to be contrary too. You go have a conversation with somebody, even a Christian. You can quote what Billy Graham said. You can quote what Oral Roberts said. All the different ones. You can read the quotes that who was Spurgeon and all the different ones that they've got the writings of. You can quote them and they're like, praise God, hallelujah. But now William Branham said, oh, hold on.
Right.
Now he's false. We don't know about, you know. You know why? Because it's contrary. That voice is so contrary to them. But to us, it's the sweetest thing you ever heard in your life. If it's not, you need to hear it again.
Amen.
For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted, that's buffeted. That's just not one time hitting. That's hitting every day. Hitting that sore spot every day. If ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Not with man. It's acceptable with God. God accepts that and counts it worthy. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now restored, are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul.
Yes, amen.
So why do we need all this? Why do we need teaching, as we were talking about maybe a week or so ago? Why do we need teaching? I know we love evangelism. Evangelism stirs you up and all these different things, you know, but you need teaching. We need to be taught.
Right.
Why do we need to be taught? Because it's just like in school. Mm-hmm. If you never went to school a day in your life, how are you going to learn how to read?
Right.
And you're just going to be, I'm sorry, you're going to be a dummy.
Right.
But you went to school, and at least you learned a little bit. You learned how to function as a human. Well, if you'll do the things of God, you'll learn to function like a Christian.
Right.
And it's not going to be dumped on you.
Right.
God knows. He's the chief shepherd of your soul.
Amen.
And the head bishop of your soul. He loves your soul.
Amen.
He loves you.
Right.
And what he does with nail-scarred hands.
Right.
Sometimes we think, oh, this thing is just too much for me. Jesus, he died on a cross for you not to say that. For you to not be able to have to say that. You can say, Lord, be it unto me as it was to you. If you can handle it, so can I. He was a human being. His human flesh hurt. Hanging on that cross, I believe, if all the sin of the world was put on him, there wasn't a part of him that didn't hurt.
Right.
And, you know, we get our fingers start hurting and we... So we have to come to this place of adoption, or the third pole ministry, or coming to full age, because God is, listen, it's not that he wants to place you, he will place you.
Right.
He has a group of people that he's already placed before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Come on, this is not just something that developed yesterday.
Right.
Brother Brown said the plan of redemption is the oldest plan ever. God planned it before the foundation of the world. He knew everything you were going to do, if you wanted it or didn't want it, how much you wanted it and how much you didn't want, how much you played around and how much you didn't. He knew every bit of that. But you don't. I'm going to read you a quote here. That's the quote I was looking for. Where Brother Branham says, remember, you become the word as you receive the word, right?
Right.
He said, but you didn't come word form.
Right.
If you'd have come word form, you'd have come perfect.
Right.
Because the word's perfect. But we're heading to that.
Amen.
Jesus came word form. He came exactly by the word of God.
Right.
Exactly by the word of God.
Amen.
And they killed him for it.
Right.
What are they going to do to us?
Right.
But we had to have something to restore everything back to the original so that God can flow through read that or listen to the tape, you know, the thinking man's filter. And then the greatest battle ever fought, where he talks about the flues being stopped up. Well, what is it stopped up with? It's not stopped up with the Word of God.
Right.
Stopped up with our thinking, our ideas, our sin, yeah. Our things that we think about that ought to be done, that's not done the way we want it done.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
The Word of God tells us what to do. Are we doing what it says?
Come on.
Are we doing what the Word of God says? Because that's the only way you can get your flus unstopped.
Amen.
The only way.
Right.
It's washed by the water of the clean word of God. As a preacher said not too long ago, he said, you can't get perfected by a dirty word. And I'm sorry, but they preach a dirty word out there because it's been handled, Brother Bram said, remember?
Right.
It's been handled by man. It's not virgin to God. It's been handled by man. Man has took the creeds, and I love those people. Some of them are going to go to heaven.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't see how you can turn this word down and go to heaven.
Right. Right.
And I mean it put right in front of your face. And you turn it down, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the judge.
Right.
I leave that to him.
Right.
But I know one thing's for sure. If we don't become that word of God, we're in bad shape ourselves.
Right.
We're going to go to a grave. But we don't have to.
Yes, that's right.
We don't have to. The only ones at the end time. Notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, in other words, not the healing campaign, but when he begins to declare his message. See, first pull was healing. That's when Brother Brown went on the campaign. Second pull was prophesying when he started telling people the thoughts of their heart. The third pull is the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed, which we know that was the seals and the thunders opening with the seals and all the great mysteries that was revealed after 1963. But what did it do? It revealed where God was.
Yeah.
He said, oh, no, it revealed where the devil was. It exposed where the devil was. It exposed where he was at. Brother Brown knew. He said, here stands a lamb. Well, where did that white horse rider ride off from? Him. Oh, boy. Nobody said amen, hardly. That's where that white horse rider rode off. All those ideas he had went riding off.
Yes, that's right.
He said, and there goes. Well, where did it come from? Right. It came from him.
Right.
You got to see the same thing.
Right.
When the seals open, you expose where Satan is.
Right.
And then you can get rid of him. Because remember, in the church, down through the church ages, he hid in false religion, false doctrine. And God accepted it, winked at their ignorance, Brother Brown said, because he knew there was a time where a group of people like me and you are going to be here today. Like me and you are going to take this word of God and carry it on.
Amen. Right, amen.
Let's don't get weak. We got to get stronger.
Right,
notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on. First pull was healing. He had many, many prayer lines. Second pull, remember, even in the prayer lines he'd have during the second pull, he may be only discern 8 or 10 people. Maybe hundreds lined up. It just wore him out.
Right.
But what he was doing was, is he was letting God take over his body, and then he was, what, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then the third pull was the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. You see, Brother Branham, in his later years, I think it was 1964, I was listening to today, or took a day off and did some work. And it didn't sound right, did it? I took a day off and did some work. Not that I don't work, anyway. But I was listening to Brother Branham, and it was in 1964, and I'm trying to remember, Christ revealed in his own word or something like that. And he was calling people out just as soon as he got finished preaching. He didn't have a prayer line. And he didn't say, I'm waiting on him. Remember, all down in the 50s, he'd say, you know what I'm doing? He would talk for 20 minutes.
That's right.
Come on, he'd talk for 20 minutes. He said, you know what I'm doing? I'm waiting on him. Well, I believe when Brother Brown came to adoption, the seals opened, and God positionally placed him. He didn't have to wait on him.
Right.
He became one with what he was waiting on.
Amen.
So he just started when he got finished with the sermon, he just started discerning. Just pop, 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 pop. Oh, brother, you're this, and you're that, you're this, you're this, you did this, sister, you did this. He didn't have to wait on something. That's why, but God was training him during that time. Remember, the angel told him, said, you've made a mess of this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Right.
Didn't he tell? The angel stood right beside of him and said, you've done what I told you not to do.
Right.
I told you don't explain it, and you've been explaining it. That's why he got all that line all tangled up.
Amen.
But he moved on up to the third pull. There's no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. I like what Brother Branham, he preached the great marriage and divorce. He got finished preaching. If you'll remember, the last thing I believe it was he said on the tape, if you'll look at the book, you'll see. He said, and the word comes to the prophet. He was identifying there was no other way he could have said what he said had he not been a prophet.
Right.
I believe if you'll look or on the book or listen to the right tape, he got ready to walk off, and he said, I'll do nothing, in other words, till I reveal it to my servants, the prophet.
Amen.
He was telling them right there who he was.
Amen.
But the only way the prophet could be vindicated is by what? By the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of those seven seals to reveal the hidden truths that's been sealed in the word of God. And we're recipients of that.
Right.
The United Time and Sign, Jeffersonville. This is one I added too. What did he say in Malachi 4? Would restore. Restore back the original Pentecostal faith. Back to the people. Now watch. With the same Pentecostal message. Not 1906. 1906 was Trinitarians.
Yeah.
Right.
AD 30. They weren't Trinitarians.
Right.
The same Pentecostal evidence. The same God. The same power. Now watch. The same teaching. Everything exactly with the vindication of the same pillar of fire that struck Paul down on the road down to Damascus. Do you know that was what was taken in 1950 over Brother Brown's head? That same pillar of fire that struck Paul down on the road to Damascus. Does God ever change?
No.
It was that same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Brother Brown told us that. It was the same pillar of fire that met Moses in the burning bush. Not different. Same one. Same person. So what are we under? We're under that anointing now. The same teaching, everything exactly, with the vindication of the same pillar of fire that struck Paul down on the road to Damascus. Among us today, doing the same thing he did in that day, uniting. He's preaching on uniting time and sign. Now watch. We see the nations uniting. Here we come. Now that was 1963. So here we are in 2025. We see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the churches uniting. We see the bride. You know, the new pope said he wanted to be a pope for everyone. He wanted to bring everybody together.
Right.
His first speech.
Yeah. Right.
We see the bride uniting. Now what? Uniting with the word.
Right.
Why? The word is God. Now watch.
Right.
And as the word, as the bridegroom being the word, and the bride being the hearer of the word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding. Remember, we get married down here.
Amen.
We go to a marriage supper, but we get married here. We have the intimacy here with Jesus Christ. Come on. That's what it is. It's a love affair between you and God. You ought to try it sometime. See, they're getting ready for a wedding. They become one. The word becomes you. You become the word. Jesus said it that day, you know what? All the Father is, I am. And all I am, you are. And all you are, I am. And that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, at that day, what day? This day right here. This day. We find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. Oh, how I like that. Perfect faith, 1963, is another quote Brother Bram gives us. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it, and it come because he was the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. So there's no way you can receive it with playing games on your telephone, on your phone. You do that now.
Right.
You got to get it from the Word of God. Somewhere in your life of a Christianity, you got to get it and read the Word of God. You gotta listen to a tape. You gotta listen. You gotta listen to sermon.
Right.
Yes, right.
That's what we strive for. That's why that Satan has eluded or caused us the word to erode so much to where we really don't need to have it. We're just in the message.
Yeah.
Oh, come on! You see it everywhere. And I don't get me wrong, I am not, if this church filled up with all the kids and the uncles and aunts and husbands and wives, I would be happy. From my heart, happy. But are they coming because they're scared? Are they coming because they finally want to realize that the Word of God is correct?
Come on.
I don't want them to come here because they're scared. Fear has torment. But you remember what Brother Brown said? He said that God told Eve, said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he say Eve thought she got by with it because she didn't die right then?
Right.
Are we doing the same thing? Are we just getting by with it because California didn't sink yesterday? Come on, shake yourself.
Right.
Come on. Are we doing that because is everything built on signs? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I don't want people to come in with signs. Like I said before, get in the right vehicle. Then look at the signs. The signs will tell you if it's from God. God gives us signs everywhere. Listen, he gives you signs in your life. Right? I hope so.
Amen.
Those that are born of God are led by the Spirit of God. Should we become more spiritual? Absolutely, we should become more spiritual. We should live more in the Spirit. We should know more than we've known 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 2 months ago, maybe even 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Now we see the attribute. Now, here it is. I may just stop right here. Brother Manuel said, you didn't preach half your sermon Sunday. I said, no, I probably didn't. What was it, 3 pages? Because we gave him the notes, 4 pages? Yeah, well, there was like 12. So here's part of it, and then we'll do the rest Sunday. But Dad used to do that. Brother Joe, we were talking about the other day. Dad would give them 30 quotes.
Right.
Some sermons, he'd read one. He might read 10, but I don't think he ever read 30. Richard's shaking his head. So that's when he was cutting and pasting, and they had to put them in the computer before he preached. He'd hand them the notes, and they'd be in there putting them in, you know. He literally cut and paste. He cut them out and paste them where he needed them to be. That's literally what he did. I mean, he would cut it off, and he'd hand it to you, and he'd be flopping. About 8 quotes or 6 quotes on one page, he'd tape it on the top, and he'd be doing this. He'd hand it to you, and he'd be going, you know. But we've come up a little bit more. They don't have to do that anymore. But we try to get in as much as we can, but we have a little extra, Brother Manuel, just in case we want to go another couple hours. We got it. And everybody said, no, ma'am. I mean, no, sir. Now we see the attribute. Now listen. This is my point about us being the Word of God. As we receive the Word, we become the Word, because we did not come here Word. We came here contrary to everything in the Bible. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. That put us out already right there. Now we see the attribute, sons of his spirit, have not yet entered into the word form body. All right? We're now sitting today in a mama and daddy formed body.
Right.
Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. It was allowed to do what we did to bring children. That wasn't the correct way to do it. Because it's been the whole problem since the garden. Sex has been the problem for everything. Come on, people. We know that.
Right.
Now watch. But a theophany. I'll slow down just a minute, because this is the last quote I'm going to read, because I got Sunday. But a theophany. Now, what is a theophany? Theophanian. Theo is God. Right? Everybody with me? Theo? Theos is God. All right? Or a spirit. Phanian or phani, theophany is a word body or a God body. That can move, that can walk through the wall. That's how God was. Everybody with me? You were not. I'm telling you. And I told somebody the other day, they were, oh, it was one of the brothers at the, I get in trouble all the time. That's okay, though. One of the brothers shook my hand, and he said, I've seen you somewhere before. And I said, don't go there. I said, don't tell me you saw me before the foundation of the world, because you did. Oh, come on, they'll do it to you, won't they? Won't they? Oh, brother, I saw you before. Where'd I see you at? Oh, I saw you before the foundation. No, you didn't. They might be a theophany inside there that was pulling each other together, but you never saw my face before my mom and daddy had me. I was in God. Brother Branham said, they said, Brother Branham, what were we? He said, you were nothing.
Amen.
Only in the mind of God were you anything. Because that's the Mormon doctrine of pre-existence of souls. We were all, Mormon doctrine is, we were, every one of you, your theophany, your spirit, your ghost.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was holy or not. Maybe you had to come down here to get holy. But you all were up there and conversing and talking. And figured out a way to let Jesus come down here. He had the plan to come down here and die. So we came down here with him. Well, anyway. Look it up. Google it. AI, it'll tell you. But we were nothing. He was the King Theophany. Everything, just like every child you ever had, men, was inside of you when you were born. You just didn't know it. But if you're all-knowing, if I was all-knowing, omnipotent, I'd know exactly how many children I'd have.
Right. Yeah.
When they'd be born, the day they'd be born, and who they were.
Yeah.
God does that. That's why when you're born, I can't go with people that says that you were eternal when you were a baby. You had representation that you were going to be eternal. That part of God, just like somewhere inside of me, was Josh at one time. But I couldn't pull him out and talk to him. I couldn't say, well, there he goes, up my arm. But God could. God knew wherever seed would fall. He knew everything that was going on. That's why he could predetermine that we come to this age and predetermine a group of people that's going to take it to the coming of the Lord. Others could not take it. You and I are going to take it. Somebody's going to take it. Because we've been pressurized to take it. God saw you want it more than anything in the world. I have to depend on that. I can't depend on my two eyes. They're getting worse. Remember, Brother Brown said, sight and time was man's two worst enemies. And that's what's doing now. We've been now in this thing 60 years. But see, now something's come up. We've got a pope. Brother Brown said we'd have a pope. So now everybody's excited again. The word of God should excite you, not the signpost. Brother Donnie, a 2025 Corvette or a stop sign? Which one do you want? You got that right. But the stop sign is a sign. But the vehicle you got in is the one you wanted. Well, you're in the vehicle that God wants right there. We see the signs. We see the stoplights. We see the warning and the caution. But you still got the car you wanted to get us out of here. You're sitting in the vehicle now that you're getting out of here. And you're not going to move over and transmigrate your soul into somewhere else. But a theophany, this body is subject to the word. Now watch. An earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now the difference between him and you as a son, you see, he was at the beginning the word. An enmorphy body or a theophany body. He came in, now listen. He came in and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. But now remember, Melchizedek couldn't be your brother. He has no redemptive power. Everybody with me? See, that's strange. The Redeemer was in that body. But that body was not made to be redeemed. For your redemption. That body was created. Went right back out of existence. Mr. Theophany, I'm going to say, King Theophany, just went back up to where he was at in another dimension. You know what? God can do that. Don't hurt him. Don't bother him a bit. Steps down into body of flesh, meets Abraham, and then gone. Now look, then later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypass that. Okay? Word form right here. Word form. Everybody with me? Look right here. Word form. All right? You didn't come word form. He did. He came word form. You were in the mind of God. You were in the word of God. But you weren't developed yet. You had to bypass and come around that to drop down into human flesh. Because remember, he was this before he was flesh. Everybody with me? I'm trying to, you know, first grade. You bypassed. You went around it. Why did you go around it? Because there was a healer, redeemer, savior, all in all, my father, my husband. All those attributes was in this, but it wasn't in you when you were born. Because of what happened in the fall. There was a dirty womb in the fall. Every womb after that, every person that came after that had to come through a dirty womb except one person. The word guy. We bypassed it. To come down here, I'll read it. Then later we never heard Melchizedek because what? He immorphed into, he was Jesus Christ, okay? Because in that form he knowed all things. We bypassed that. But in that form, he knowed everything. That's why Jesus said before Abraham was, you can't say that. He could say it because he was the word from here.
Yes.
And was heading down. His theophany was heading down. Jehovah.
Amen.
All the redemptive names of Jehovah. They called him Jehovah in the Old Testament. He was hidden behind a cloud. He was hidden behind fire. He was hidden behind badger skin.
Right.
But that couldn't save you.
That's right.
He had to be a kinsman. Somebody that took on flesh just like me and you. So Melchizedek couldn't because he was a human. He was a human at one moment. Because he ate and he drank. But he wasn't ever a baby. He never came through a womb. So he disqualified himself from being a savior in Melchizedek. But the savior was in Melchizedek. But there was a position that God took. Because see, now I can look back and see that that man became Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a lot of people in the world think Melchizedek was just a priesthood. That it wasn't Jesus. I mean, well, it wasn't God. They said it wasn't God. But it was. And then Brother Branham, by illustrating, I don't know if he saw a vision, but he illustrated. When now here's Jesus. When he died, he comes down here and he takes on human flesh, right? All right, let's say this is his human flesh. He walked 30 years. Kids, this is pretty good, isn't it? He walked 30 years. But then what happened? This part of him died.
Right.
Hung on the cross, they killed him. He had no breath in him. He had no life in him. This flesh went into a grave. This didn't change.
Right.
This just went over in another dimension. Everybody with me? It just moved over in another dimension so he could be the judge. Remember, he went to hell to preach to the souls that was in prison. Brother Brown said he kicked the door open and said, I'm the one Noah was talking about. Because remember, then he wasn't finished. He moved over and came into paradise, opened the door, and Brother Brown illustrates so wonderful. He said, what did Abraham say? Sarah, that's the same guy that fed us a calf. Well, he must have looked like Melchizedek. Because it was Melchizedek. The form he took looked just like Jesus. Nobody just knew him. Nobody knew him at that. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Remember, that theophany can't change.
Amen.
It's eternal. It can't change.
Amen.
If you ever look 20 years old, he's going to continue. But now he can take on a form that could get 50 years old or look like it was 50 years old.
Yeah.
Everybody with me? So when he got there, Brother Brown said, oh, he opened the door and said, come, you know, open up the everlasting gates. And Sarah said, or Abraham said, oh, look, Sarah, that's the one that fed us a calf. Well, he must have looked like the guy they fed the calf to. The calf to.
Amen.
Their revelation. Ezekiel said, oh, that's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He couldn't get it out, but that's who he's talking about.
Amen.
One from the loins up was on fire. One from the loins down. The Son of Man. That was that guy right there. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
Because in that form, he knowed all things. And you have never been able to know that, hold on a minute, yet.
Correct.
Thank God for a prophet. I like those words that prophets add. Because he could have said, you're never going to be able to be there.
Yeah.
And that would have been the way it would have been. But he said, you haven't been able to know that yet.
Right.
Tonight, you should know that yet.
Right.
Look, you come like Adam, like me. You become from the attribute to the flesh.
Right.
Why? To be tempted.
Right.
To go through trials and tribulations, sorrow and heartache, just what we've been talking about. Character building.
Right.
But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the word.
Yeah.
Then we can look back and see what we've done. Can't you look back right now and see where you started your journey? Well, that's where you met, you heard from your theophany.
Right.
Amen.
But your theophany is not way over yonder. It's inside of you. It's your new birth.
Amen.
Amen.
If this earth is happening, I could be dissolved. We already have one waiting. Musicians, come on. That's where we go. That is the word. Then we can look back and see what we've done. Now, we don't understand it. We have never become the Word.
Right.
Now let me interpolate that. We have never become all the Word yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody with me?
Right.
That's what he meant.
Right.
He didn't say you, because when you get born again, you become the Word.
Right.
You're just not fully developed.
Yes, that's right.
We have never become the Word. We've just become the flesh man, not the Word. So whatever mom and daddy produced didn't come from the Word of God. It came as a permissive will to drive you to the Word of God. But, and look, clearly makes it clear, you will never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning.
That's right.
Yes. In this person, you were a thought. God knew you, thought about you before you were, before there was even a world for you to live on. He didn't just think about you. You were Him.
That's right.
Amen. You were part of His progeny. You were His DNA. Everything He is, He can subdivide Himself, not like we do, because Josh is different from me.
Right.
But in theophany, we're all the same.
Yes, that's right.
Because there's not a Luis Urrego theophany that's better than a Waddell theophany. I know that for a fact. Because we're kinfolks.
Amen.
We were kinfolks with the devil for a while, but we're kinfolk now, and we what? We like to come together because family comes together.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. Now watch. But look, and clearly makes it clear, you will never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning. Not a person. Yes, you were in seed form. Just like your kids. They were in seed form. But they had to be put in a bedding ground.
Right.
Put in a bedding ground. Mary didn't come here with Christ in her.
Right. Come on.
Right.
That proves the predestination of God. You can't be the Word unless you're a thought. You had to be in the thinking first. God didn't just develop you down here. He developed you from the foundation of the world. That's why you can say, yes, I was predestinated.
Amen.
But you see, and now watch, in order to stand temptation, here we are. In order to stand suffering, in order to stand this temptation, you had to bypass that theophany, which is what? Perfect. Never had a bad day. Never cursed. Never smoked a cigarette. Never.
Right.
Never. You can't blame your theophany now for what you did then.
Right.
Your theophany is God.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
Right.
But you had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. He said tempted three times. And then if you stand, all the Father hath given me will come to me, not because the Pope come out of the United States.
Correct.
It'll be the pull of the Word of God.
Amen.
Now listen, we may have to get them in here and get them under the nest. That may be it. We may, and I, like I said, I'm not discluding nobody. I wish this whole place would fill up. We just preach Jesus Christ and salvation until they get saved. And forget about preaching about a Pope. They can learn that later.
Yeah.
And I'll raise him up at the last day. See, you had to be first. Let me finish that. In the mind of God.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
And even the adoption part has got to be fulfilled when you come down here in flesh.
That's it. Yeah.
Amen.
This is all the character of God. Right?
Yeah.
This is the characteristics of God himself. Jesus Christ. But remember, we weren't born Jesus Christ. We were born from mom and daddy with an Adamic nature. Let me tell you something real quick. Stand our feet. Remember the picture that was taken, and I was going to try to find it, but daddy's got it somewhere. Remember where Brother Brown's preaching, and then you've got those squiggly lines? Aaron, he's preaching, and you see those lines coming down, and there's a vase there that wasn't there when the picture was took. You with me?
California.
If you look right back up above Brother Ram's head, there's a snake. I'd never seen that before. A brother told me that Brother Ram told his daddy that he said that was the devil, and the devil was always my old nature was always with me. If you look right above his head, right back in the back, you'll see all this, which was the kind of glory coming down with the pot of flowers. Look right above his head. There's a squiggly. It's a snake. Brother Brown said, see there, he's always with me. I have to fight him all the time. Even a great prophet and the Shekinah glory coming down, the devil was right there.
Right.
Don't think you can ever defeat him by yourself. You can't defeat him by yourself.
Amen.
even with the Holy Ghost, it's hard. It's hard. But you can overcome by the word of God and your testimony. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing a song. God bless you. We'll finish Sunday.
Holy saints of light proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in his name. Jesus, the light of the world.
Sing it to him.
Oh, we've
been given a light.
In the light.
Listen, we're not living in darkness. We are not. We are children of light. The darkest day you've ever had in your life, if you'll just get high enough in the altitude, the sun's shining all the time. Get above those clouds.
The Savior's earnest call.
I believe he's calling. I do believe he's calling. The final voice is ringing out. Some are going to take it, some are not. But we don't pick them, he does. We let him do it.
Jesus, the light of the world.
Sing it to him.
We'll walk in the light, a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day.
Short, folks. The time is getting short. Things could rapidly change in a moment.
It's truth, the narrow way. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light.
Thank God that we've been shown a light. You ever thank him? Thank him. Thank him for what he's given you. Thank him for this message that he allowed you to see.
By now, Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, come confess him as your King. Jesus, the light of the world.
What's going to happen?
Then the bells of heaven will ring. Jesus, the light of the world.
Sing it to him.
Oh, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day.
Sing it to him one more time.
Jesus, the light of the world.
Let's sing it.
Oh, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen. Is it good tonight?
Praise.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Before we go, I ask Brother Luis, would you mind dismissing in prayer, brother?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for this wonderful word that you've given us, Lord. Lord Jesus, what a wonderful thing it is, Father, to recognize, Lord God, our position in you, Lord. And Father, who we are, Father God, in this hour, Lord, and how you predestinated us, Lord God, to come to where we are now, Father. We thank you, Father God. Bless Brother Wade. Give him strength, Lord. Give him rest, Lord God, and just continue to be with Sister June and the family there, Lord God Almighty, and what they're going through at this very moment, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless the people as they go home, and you just be with them, Lord God. Let them, Father God, Lord, leave this place, but never your presence, Lord Jesus. That we can come back here Sunday to worship you in spirit and in truth, to feast upon your word, Lord God. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Ain't God good?